All right. Awesome. Thank you very much. All right. So there is a way, if you guys want to talk, just open up the mic and just jump in. I think there's a way you can raise your hand. I saw it before. And we'll jump in from that. All right. So I'm going to share my screen. We're going to pick up with the Watchman Nee series. And then that way, if you don't have a book, you can kind of look on with what we're doing here. So I'm going to share my screen in just a minute. And I'm going to share Nee's Normal Christian Life. And hopefully you guys can see that. Thumbs up if you can. Excellent, excellent. So this is picking up on page 73. Just some quick review, especially in line with the coronavirus and some of the things that we're facing here. Some of the other pages, he talks about the facts that we're going to live by. And so do we live and do we work, or do we walk really in what we know or in what we've heard? So you hear about, and that's last week's lesson or whatever that I put on the site if you didn't hear it already. You hear things. He talks about sin not being gone away. Sin is not gone away. Sin is still around, but we're delivered from sin. And so I kind of gave the comparison of, hey, the coronavirus, that's not make-believe. That's real. But are we overcome and over-focusing on what we see based upon what we hear and what we know as far as Christ is concerned? Therefore, it doesn't, what I'm seeing is not scaring me or pulling me away from my faith and belief in Christ. I think that's where he's going here. So sin is still around. Don't get confused, he says. It's not like just because we're in Christ that there's no more sin. Sin is still around us, but we're not slaves to sin, if that makes sense. And I kind of see the virus thing working the same way. Now, be careful, because I've seen some churches out there saying, you know, I'm covered by God, and so, you know, you can kind of do anything you want to, and that's really kind of bothering me, because when you go to the wilderness, remember when Christ was tempted in the wilderness, where did the enemy take him? Took him to the top of the temple. And Christ quotes Psalm 91, which is a wonderful psalm during this time. My wife gave me Psalm 91. I've been reading it. It's very encouraging. You know, we're guarded, we're protected against the pestilence. But when Satan takes him to the top of the temple, he says, hey, if God's really got you covered, throw yourself off. And Christ is like, no. You know, Psalm 91, he quotes it back to him and says, I'm not going to tempt God. So when you see people who are loving God and saying that he's got them covered, don't get it twisted. And this is why I really like the Watchman Nee book. You can get so caught up in the emotion and miss the spirit. And a good example is, and I'm planning on riding today if it doesn't rain. See somebody waiting to get let in? All right, let me let them in. Good. Deb, you'll be happy to know that I pray every time I get on my motorcycle. Before I get on my motorcycle, well, before I get in my car, too, I pray. And I know God.
I'm so happy.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know you are. So I pray. And when I get on my bike, I'm praying, and I know that God has me covered. I am covered. I'm covered. The way I leave the driveway is the same way I'm going to be coming back. But even though I know that I'm covered when I'm riding my motorcycle, Rodney's coming in. I don't go out there and ride beyond my means. I'm not trying to do wheelies, you know, going around turns on Old Pike Road. I mean, I'm not doing that. So I'm not tempting God because I know I'm covered, and I'm just going to go out there and just be reckless. All right. So I'm going to get off that now. Just know that you're covered by God, but don't be reckless. Right? Common sense. I don't know if somebody's doing this Corona Dare or whatever, where they're licking toilets. Who does stuff like that? That's crazy. All right. So let's go over to page 73. And what you're seeing here is I was able, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it next time, but I was able to get this because I don't have the visual book, the electronic version of this, but I was able to get this. And what you're going to see is, well, maybe you're not going to see. Oh, there it is. Good. It's going to let me move. I've highlighted sections of the page where I thought was interesting that we could talk about. And again, unmute yourself and chime in so I don't keep hearing myself talk. All right, so on page 73, he talks about the section of abiding in him. And I like what he says. He says, nowhere do you see the scripture saying that we're dead in ourselves. We are dead not in ourselves, but in Christ. We were crucified with him because we were in him. I thought that was important. And the reason I highlighted it is sometimes, especially when we're going through the steps, we try to crucify ourselves and try to, you know, humble ourselves. And we talked about that in doing our steps. Just throwing out, do you understand what he's saying here when he says we're not dead in ourselves, but in Christ? I mean, I think this is a key point, especially when we're doing the feast steps and we're trying to do that first step of, you know, humbling and submitting ourselves to God. How are we doing that? Are we dead in ourselves, but in Christ? I want to make sure we understand that because, again, that's that key first step of being in right relationship with God. So unmute your mic if you have a comment and throw it out there. Al, I'm going to unmute you just so I can see you talk. Wait a minute.
All right. The key to me is the John 15.
All right, talk to me.
The key is John 15, that he's saying we can't humble ourselves by ourselves. We've got to recognize that we ask Jesus to please help us humble ourselves. Everything is done in and through Christ, the Bible says, in and through him.
Right.
So if we're even in humbling ourselves, I mean, because the Bible does say, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Right.
And so, you know, I think what Watchman Nee is saying is that we can only die to our flesh, only humble ourselves, if we are doing it through and in Christ. Am I correct?
Yes. Sometimes, so we still have our first steps. We identify we have a need. I need God. That drives me to him. All right? But if I try to humble myself, then that's going to be a self-work or whatever. I humble myself by finding myself in Christ, by submitting to Christ. So what he's saying here is, no, we're not dead in ourselves because, you know, we're still alive to sin. But when I'm in Christ, it's a different story. That's the humbling. A good passage of scripture, especially when we're talking about the feast, would be Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. All right. Which means I'm submitting myself to him being my shepherd and under control. All right. So I'm going to scroll down a little bit more and again, chime in if you got some other things there. So he goes to John chapter 15, verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. And he really breaks this down. So I'm going to go through, and I see Ken got his Bible. And that's a good thing. If you don't have your Bible, I'm going to have some scriptures pulled up. But so he goes over to page 266, I think it is. No, not 266. I'm looking at the wrong page. He moves over to page 73 and 74, and he says, we're familiar with the words abide in me and I in you, and they remind us that we have never to struggle to get into Christ. We are not told to get there, for we already are there. We are told to stay where we have been placed. So it's the abiding. And this is great. So here's the easy. Once we acknowledge and we realize the I'm in Christ, coming from Romans 6, I'm crucified in Christ, I'm in Christ. He said the abiding is automatic. That is so great. It's not like we have to try to fight, to try to, or struggle to get into Christ. How do we get our sins forgiven?
Through the blood of Jesus.
All right. And were they forgiven through the blood of Jesus or also when we believed?
Yes.
Yeah. So we heard a word and we understand from the word of God that Christ died for us. And we believe that and we accept that. And that automatically puts us in Christ. So he's saying we don't really have to struggle to find ourselves in Christ. It's automatic through our belief and our faith. But here's the key, and I circle it in red. You can get in Christ, but how easy is it for us to stay in Christ? Yeah. So we struggle with that. So I love what Nia is saying here is, hey, the challenge for us should not, once we realize how easy it is to be in Christ, the challenge in this is not to get there because we're already there. The real challenge is to stay there, all right? And I highlighted, it's a divine principle. God has done the work in Christ and not in us. So it's not that he's done the work in us. It's all through Christ. So Christ is the focal point. Like Susan said, Christ is the focus of that. I'm an overcomer because of Christ, not because of myself. But in that, we have to stay and abide with him. So why is it not easy for us to stay in Christ? Because that's the key to that abide. So it's more than just having an instance or a faith instance. It's the continuation. It's more than just having an instance of faith. It's the faithfulness. So there are things out there that try to keep us from abiding. And the enemy is one of them. All right. And so how does the devil try to keep us from abiding or staying in Christ?
Using circumstances. We focus on our circumstances instead of Christ.
Yeah.
Like now. People are worried and overwrought because of the circumstances instead of staying in our seat and focusing on Christ.
But it's real.
It's real. I'm not saying it's not real.
Yeah.
But so is Christ.
Yeah, so, and that's the power of the believer, because the virus is real, the circumstances are real, but is that going to shake my standing and my faith in God and my abiding in him? Because once I see my circumstances are such that I stop trusting in him, am I now abiding in him? No.
Yeah.
So, again, let's go back to the wilderness. Christ is facing some circumstances in the first temptation. What's his circumstance? He ain't got no food. He's hungry. All right. Who comes? The enemy. What's the temptation? Hey, stop trusting in God and take matters into your own hand. If he does that, the great sin is not the making of the turning of the stones into bread. The sin is I'm no longer abiding or trusting in Christ, which is the foundation of my right standing. All right. So, yeah, it's the circumstance. And the enemy will use those circumstances to try to get us from abiding or trusting in God. That makes sense?
Yes.
All right. All right. I also highlighted this. It's wrong for us to think that we can experience anything from the spiritual life in ourselves merely and apart from him. All the spiritual experience of the Christian is already true in Christ. What we call our experience is only our entering into his history and his experience. Now, that's a lot. And there's two key points that he's talking about there. Let me see where I am in that. I'm over on page 74 if you're reading along. The first point that we're looking at here is it's wrong for us to think that we can experience anything of the spiritual life in ourselves merely and apart from him. So let's go back to the temptation in the wilderness. What is Christ armed with before he enters the temptation?
Say that again, Chuck.
What steps has Christ gone through? I'm rephrasing it. What steps has Christ gone through as he gets ready to enter into the temptation in the wilderness?
Baptism and Holy Spirit.
Yes. So that's four steps. He humbly submitted to John in baptism. He gets baptized. And if we get time, we'll cover that here. So he humbles himself. He submits to God in baptism. He goes in the water, sign of repentance. He comes out of the water, the resurrection. All right? And then what happens as soon as he comes out of the water? Holy Spirit lands on him in the form of a dove. And then the Spirit leads him into the wilderness so he can show us. Ah, here you go. The Spirit leads him into the wilderness. Why do you think the Spirit leads him into the wilderness? This is new revelation. It just hit me 5 seconds ago.
To show us how to handle temptation once we've been baptized and received the Holy Spirit.
Well, you just took my thunder on that one. That's it. So it's our example. Now, let's look at what Nee is saying here. So in order for us to really experience that spiritual life, we have to have the Holy Spirit. All right. We have to have that level 4. You got a measure of the Spirit when upon regeneration and your soul is quickened. But you have to have that fourth step of that baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to be able to have the power to survive in the wilderness. Now, what Nee is saying here is all the Christian experience is already true in Christ. So if Christ goes into the wilderness so he can show us an example of how to continue to abide in the face of circumstances, in the face of self-righteousness, in the face of doubt or impatience, is God using our experience or is he using that experience, and do we draw power from that experience?
That experience.
And that's the essence of what I think Nee is saying in this section. All the spiritual experience of the Christian is already true in Christ. So the way that Christ deals with the temptation in the wilderness, that is our experience. Can you find yourself in that experience and then because of that experience it yourself, and then that's the history that you go into your Christian life in?
Yeah.
There you go. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever looked at it this way, if you ever looked at the temptation of what Christ is going through that way, if you've looked at the experience of Christ and said, man, Christ experienced this, so I have too, so now I know how to deal with it. It is a powerful paradigm shift for the believers, but it should be the normal Christian life. What I thought was the normal Christian life is, well, I just need to struggle through this and try to find a way out. I can never successfully struggle through this and find a way out. I must always find a way out through the experience that Christ shows us in his example. It is much more easier to know Christ already overcame, so have I. I love this book. All right, let's keep going.
He has already provided the way of escape.
Yes. So we also escape when we connect with and see ourselves in that story.
Right.
Let me just kind of go through some of my notes here. I think we're sitting around. I think this takes us to... Yes.
One thing I want to say is sometimes we try to connect to everything but Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Give me an example.
To get that escape. And right now, in what we're living through, I mean, one thing God, I believe, is trying to do is try to get Christians. I mean, he's also reaching out to non-believers, but to try to get Christians to connect to him, to reconnect. If you kind of got away from putting more value on other things above our Creator, but above our Savior. And in John 15, he said, I'm the true vine. He was telling his disciples that because Israel thought they were the true vine, but they tried to do it every other way. They tried to just live by the law without the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so we really have to connect with Jesus. I mean, we have, it's all Him. It's all Him. Everything through Him and by Him and for Him.
Yeah. All right, so good point, and it kind of leads to the next page. I'm trying to figure out what page we're on now. It's on page 75. Nee sort of de-emphasizes our experiences, which when I first read it, I was like, well, that's kind of weird because, you know, we overcome through our experiences, our testimonies or whatever, and so that's important to us. But he's de-emphasizing that because while our experience and our testimony is key, we should, it's easy if we find our experience in Christ. So again, using the example of Christ in the Bible, I just had to highlight the top of the page that you're seeing here, but it's on page 75 in the middle. Every true spiritual experience means that we have discovered a certain fact in Christ and have entered into that. Do we face doubt and temptation? Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I went to a funeral on Wednesday. I had to go to a funeral on Wednesday. And I told the pastor that was doing the funeral, because I was on the program to read a scripture and a prayer. And I told him in advance, I'm like, hey, look, you know, here's what they're doing. Here's how they're doing funerals. Stop shaking your head, Al. Here's how they're doing funerals in D.C. and, you know, no more than 25 people. And, you know, you kind of, if there's more than 25 people, funnel them in, let them view the body, and then get them out of there, and then have the service for the immediate family, you know, so that, you know, you got the 6-foot rule and everybody's practicing safety and things like that. And I gave him the instructions. I'm like, okay, this is great. So I'm going to the funeral thinking, man, this is going to be good. You know, Christ, I'm covered. You know, everything's good. And I get there, parking lot half full, church packed out. I'm like, oh, my God. this is not good. I started to turn around and leave. And then people are coming up to me and wanting to shake my hand. I'm like, no, to the E, to the L, to the boat. No, you know, that's... and I wasn't real happy when I got ready to leave, but what I was experiencing and what was real and what I was seeing was kind of shaking my faith. I was overly focused on what I was seeing. Doesn't mean that I was comfortable in that was a right situation, but now I've got to deal with that situation. Now, how do I want to deal with that situation? And so I remembered Christ, and I remembered the wilderness. And so I think what he's saying here is find where Christ overcame. Find how Christ dealt with it. Deal with it the same way. Enter into that experience and that power. And here's the neat thing about it. Do we have the power of Christ inside of us?
Yes.
Well, if you abide in him, then he said that he will abide with us. So if we do our part and we find ourselves in Christ, he will find himself in us. And who now is in us? That power. What power? The same power that defeated the enemy in the wilderness and defeats the things that we see happening around us that allows us to still abide and trust in him. Oh, man. I mean, somebody ought to really be encouraged, just based on what we're talking about right now, in the face of everything that we're seeing, to know that what I see is real, but what I hear and what I know in Christ is greater. All right, I saw Al moving his lips, so I want to see. Al, what do you think about that? Unmute yourself.
I was looking at the second part of that sentence. Anything that is not from him in this way is an experience that is going to evaporate very soon.
Good point.
Very soon.
All right, now I don't know how to get rid of you here. All right, so where is everybody else at? All right. Man, participants. All right. So... Al, you broke my screen. right, I'll figure it out. All right. The next section, I've got highlighted a lot. There's a lot there. I thought there was a lot there that we're going to look at. And this kind of takes us to page 76 and 77. The history of Christ becomes our experience and our spiritual history. We do not have a separate history from his. I think when we try to set up a separate history from his, that I think, Al, that kind of goes back to what you were just saying. I'm not trying to focus on my history. I'm trying to focus on the history of Christ, because that's where my victory is, and that's where my power is, and that's where my example is. And that's why I think he went into the wilderness in the first place, and I think that's why he went to the cross, and I think that's why he did the things that he did in his ministry on earth, because it's as an example and a sign for us. All right. Even eternal life is not given to us as individuals. I never thought about it this way. The life is in the Son, and he that hath the Son hath life. One of the scriptures that I used at the funeral was out of John 11. I am the resurrection, where Christ says that at Lazarus' funeral. I am the resurrection. And if I'm found in Christ, then I get my resurrection through the Son. Let me give you a for instance. Let me figure out how I can stop sharing my screen here for a minute and get back to... Okay, good. Wow. All right, so I'm seeing everybody again. Good.
Tish is here now, Chuck.
I saw Tish. Hello, Tish.
Hey. Hey, Tish.
Hey. That's Chuck's wife.
Hey, Tish. So glad to see you.
What is this, a Bud commercial? Okay, everybody. All
right. I mean, a quick observation on your book when you put your page up.
Yeah.
You have capability to enlarge it if you want, if anybody didn't already know that.
Okay. I didn't know it, so it's good. And I'm going to share it again. Let me give you a quick example. I can't get into the prisons now, and we had the youth detention facility or whatever, and one of the ministers said, well, you can't go in to visit till the end of April, but one of the things that we do need, we need Bibles. And we need Bibles. Now, I don't have a Bible here, but I know somebody who has Bibles. Raise your hand who's got the Bible. There he is. Al's with the Gideons, Al's got Bibles. The guy needs 25 Bibles. I don't have 25 Bibles. Now, there are several ways that I can get 25 Bibles. And the first thing that I went to go do to get the 25 Bibles was, oh man, thank you, Holy Ghost. I'm like, you know what? He needs 25 Bibles. What's the first thing we're going to do to get those 25 Bibles? What do you think the first thing it is that I did to get these 25 Bibles for this prison?
Pray.
I prayed. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a quick prayer, though. I'm not as spiritual as you thought. It was a quick prayer. I mean, it's a need. I got to go for it. You know, said, Lord, you know, show me how to get these Bibles. Yeah, now I'm gone. All right. What's the next thing I got to do to get these Bibles?
Let the need be known to others.
That's how I, Deb, your line up, that's how I should have done. But I didn't do. What do you think I did?
Calm down.
No. You know that that's the last resort.
Jimmy says you bought them.
Jimmy is right. I went to Amazon. I started Googling up Bibles and looking at how much they cost. And I'm like, hey, you know, there's a deal out here. I can go out and I can buy these Bibles. I got enough money. I could buy these Bibles. I think I can get them for like under $10 a piece or whatever. And I'm getting ready to go through and figure out how to get them ordered. And I told the guy, hey, look, you know, you can order them this way. I'll pay for them if you order them. And I'm going through all this. All right, so what level am I at as I'm going through
you
this?
You ain't on the map.
Oh, wait a minute now. I'm doing ministry. I'm trying. How are you going to tell me?
You still ain't on the map. You're doing it in your own power.
Don't be saying that she should be teaching this class.
You should be the teacher of this class this morning.
Me? Well, you're trying to figure it out on your own.
What about scripture said was give and it be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shake together, running over, man, we'll get back in your bosom.
I hear you, Ken, but now I got to go back because this woman has just told me that I'm getting ready to do ministry. I'm getting ready to do a good thing. And I think everybody on this call, I got 14 participants on this call. I think all 14 of you would agree that what I'm doing is a good thing. I am meeting the need. I'm getting Bibles to the prison. But Deb, you're saying that I'm not on the map. Explain.
No, because you are doing it on your own.
Yes.
You're not allowing anybody else in, and you're stealing a blessing from somebody else, possibly.
So when I realized that I was, I'm going through a lot of work. I'm going through a lot of effort. I'm going through a lot of resources. I'm spending a lot of time trying to figure out how to get the Bibles to the prison. All of a sudden, I got an epiphany. Must have been the Holy Ghost. Al has Bibles.
Now, ain't that simple?
It is simple. I call Al.
You humbled yourself.
I had to humble myself. I'm calling Al. I love this. Al wants to talk and you're not.
Thank you, Deb.
But, so I call Al. And it's as easy as that. Al says, I got 25 Bibles for you. I'll meet you at the church. I got the Bibles from Al. The prison had them the same day. No shipping, no charge, no expense. It was easier. Do you see how this example in the natural, this 2020 example, ties back into what Nee is saying and even what Al just said?
Absolutely.
I have 100 more, Chuck.
Pardon me?
I have 100 more.
And I'm getting the word out about it. They got the Bibles. And I save time because I'm connected to Al. I found myself in Al. I don't have the Bibles, but who does have the Bibles? Al. So because Al has the Bibles, but I don't have the Bible, but I'm in Al, now I have the power that Al has. Guess what I have? 25 Bibles. I tapped into the power in my relationship with Al, and it made things a whole lot easier. I think that's what Nia is saying here. If you go and try to do ministry and service and you outrun the covering of the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be doing things in your own flesh. And here's the dangerous thing about it. Oh, my God. This, if I was really doing this on my own, in my flesh, and you told me, Deb, you're off the map, I would say, yeah, I'm off the map. But when I'm doing something for God and I think I'm in right standing and I've outrun the covering of the Holy Spirit, I don't know that I'm outside of right standing with God, and I'm still doing it in my own strength, thinking that I'm doing a kingdom work, and I'm outside the coverage of God. And so that's what Nee is, and he's going to get on into this deeper into the book. But that's where I really need to make sure that I'm abiding in Christ. Deb, are you trying to say that even though I was trying to do a work in the ministry, that my abiding in Christ, I was outside of what Christ really wanted me to do, even though getting the Bibles is the thing? All right. Now, don't get me wrong. Getting the Bibles to the prison, that's the will of God. How we execute it, oh my goodness, can make all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Nia is saying here. That's the normal Christian life. Stop trying to do ministry and that work in and of yourself, in and of your own power. And you know what? It is so easy. You can go off just like that. You can hear from the Holy Spirit, and then you can go off in a certain direction and miss it. And not know that I'm outside of right standing with God. Can it happen that quick?
Yes.
Can it happen while you're doing ministry?
Yes, can especially it happen when you're going through a world crisis, you can just like get out on your own real quick, trying to make sure you have provisions on your own, instead of stopping and asking God how to go about things.
Yes. All right. Good points. All right. So now I'm sharing my screen again. I still don't know why Al is popping up on my screen there, but anyway. Oh, hold on. My wife's read the book, so she wants to comment.
Okay. What I believe and what I've experienced is when the Spirit gives us something to do, He just tells us He wants us to do it. We have to pray and ask for the way to do it and the time to do it. But then we also have to wait for the answer. Our problem is we'll pray, but we won't wait for the answer. We'll assume that we know the way of God because He did it this way before. God doesn't always do it the same way every time. He doesn't always do it the same time every time. So in Psalms 37, it says that we should trust in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. It's it's harder to wait for the answer than it is to say a quick prayer and run off and do it. We have to be willing to wait. And when the Lord speaks to us through the Spirit and tells us how He wants us to do it, then we execute. We're too quick to execute because we know this is the Spirit's will, but the Spirit has a way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but it's the end thereof is death and destruction, the Bible says. So in my experience, I've run off headstrong on a lot of things, but had to learn. God hasn't told me how to go and when to go and what to do when I get there. I just need to wait for that part of the prayer that I prayed. So that's all I have.
That's right.
I hope somebody's getting something. I mean, even as I'm teaching this with you guys, I'm convicted and I'm learning. It's just so easy. And I really think when Christ said, watch, that's what He's talking about. And what my wife was just saying, it just reminds me, we've already talked about this before, but the life of David, and, you know, David gets ready to attack somebody and God says, hey, go out, you'll win. And then he has another battle, and instead of going out doing it the same way, he says, God, how do you want me to do it this time? This time I don't want you to wait and wait till you hear the wind moving in the trees. I mean, you can't be presumptuous. And just because he moved one way, you know. So let me just move on because she kind of really said what I was trying to just say just then. All right, so God has put me, here's another section here, just on page 77. God has put me in Christ. Therefore, all that is true of Him is true of me. I will abide in Him. Are the things around me and the things that are happening around me, is that going to cause me to no longer abide in Him? No. How can we sustain ourselves? Okay, here we go. And all of this craziness that's happening in the world, I mean, I've been on the earth for a good little while. I have not seen things like this. I've got a friend in D.C. He says, hey, if you live in Maryland and somebody else lives in Virginia, you can't cross the state line. I've not seen it. I mean, these are scary times. What can I tap into Christ that'll make me not be scurred?
Well, Christ always says, do not fear, because He's with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
He gives us the spirit of fear.
Right. Oh, and we've already talked about the scripture today. Matthew 4. He went to the wilderness for just such a time as this.
Right.
To show us how to not have fear. I tap into that experience. I tap into Psalm 91.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that are happening around me don't move me. I will abide in Him. I will stay in Him. All right. My wife has something she wants to share.
I just want to say that every experience that we experience has already been done in the Word of God. There's nothing new
under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun.
Okay, good.
All you do is you have to stay in the Word, abide in the Word, hide yourself in the Word, live, walk, move, breathe in the Word of God, and you'll find yourself. You have to always find yourself and your experience in the Word of God, because it's not going to be any new scriptures written. The whole world and everybody in the world is locked in the Word of God. Sinners, saints, everybody. They don't act outside of the Word of God. So whatever we're going through, this has already been done in the Word of God. We have to find it. Find yourself. Find your comfort. Find your encouragement in the Word of God, because God is faithful. Whatever He said is true. His promises are yea and amen. He's watching the saints of God during this time to see if we're going to go to the Word of God and find a hiding place See, if we're going to go there and trust what he said and trust what he's already done, because what he's already done is what's going to happen to us. The Bible is complete from Genesis to Revelation. Our future has already been written. We already know what's going to happen because we can go to the end of Revelation to read it. There's nothing new going to happen outside of the Bible. So he's expecting the saints of God to live in the Word of God and encourage those that might be fearful to go to the Word of God. And he's expecting all of us to point everybody to Christ during this time. So.
Okay. I've got this section highlighted because I will abide in him. Christ, we already talked about this, but Satan is always trying to get us out, to keep us out, to convince us that we are out. And by temptations, failure, suffering, trial, to make us feel acutely that we are outside of Christ. So this is interesting. There's a couple of different things that he's saying in this paragraph. And most of the time, you know, when I'm teaching, I'm teaching of ourselves not abiding because we want to take matters into our own hand, or we stop trusting in him. We want to do things ourselves. But he points out something else. He points out the failures. That could be a temptation as well. You know, a lot of times we think that the self-righteous part of us feels like, oh, we got this, and we just outrun our covering, and we go faster than what God has said. Kind of like my wife said, you know, we don't wait on God. We just move. What is wrong with your mouth, Al? All right, never mind. Let me just go. All right.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes.
One thing that I see in this statement you wrote is the word feel.
Oh, yeah.
Our feelings can take over rapidly with us, especially now. I mean, one day I went through a day, I was just pure angry, and I didn't know why I was even angry. So I had to go back.
Well, look to
you. God, why am I even angry? I had a bad day, and I was just full of anger for some reason.
Well, look to your left. You might find the answer. But anyway, go
ahead. Yeah. Okay, no. I mean, our feelings, especially with women, our feelings get in the way so many times.
Oh, say that again.
Especially women.
Amen. All right. But good points. So sometimes we get so self-righteous that we outrun God. Sometimes we get in our feelings, but the failures will knock us out too. And I don't know if I want to make sure you guys understand that. So you can sin and feel so unworthy and do the Adam thing and hide in the bushes and feel like, I can't get back to abiding with God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I love this. I had to highlight this because there's so many pieces here. It's the temptation of outrunning God, the self-righteousness. It's the feelings, like you just said. But now it's the trials going through this whole thing that we're going through right now. But it's also when we fail, the enemy will come and say, I gotcha. Oh, this is your third marriage? Oh, no, I got you. And you feel like some of the things that you're going through will cause you to be unworthy of Christ. But when you're in Christ and he accepts you as you are, the devil's a liar.
Yes.
And if the devil lies about who you are and you're standing with Christ, can you really believe anything that comes out of his mouth? My wife says he can't tell the truth. Okay. Yeah. He was a liar from the beginning. Yeah, amen. All right. So, when I sin, God forbid, I'm quick. Somebody has a question.
That's me. I just wanted to say something right there. I just like to know, like, what all of us are doing. God, for whatever reason, giving us all of this time. We have more time with family now than we've had probably in a long time. And I think it's very important for each one of us to really seek God, you know, in a way that we haven't in a while, because we can get so busy doing things, but now we have a lot of time. I think we should invest that time in the Word of God.
Amen. Yeah. Hey, before this happened, I had 5 Bible studies. I've got 2, and I'm anxious to get back to my Bible studies, but I need to break. And you know what? I'm more keenly aware of what's going through. And you know, I was talking to a bishop friend of mine yesterday. He said, "You know, Chuck, I'm anxious and excited to see how God's going to get glory out of all of this."
Amen.
All right, so we got about 4. Yeah, go ahead.
A while back, I was a type A personality. And
amen for the type A's. I'm one.
And yet, God brought circumstances into my world that caused me to understand the importance and the value of rest and resting in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep seeing this as a time for that. That our world is sick, that our world is not resting. And not resting in Him. And this is causing us to rest. It's almost like we've broken His law or His word or His idea of the value of rest, not just every Sabbath, but for the Jubilees, for all those things. And we've not honored any of that. And now He's going to make us.
Show
us how important it is that we stop and honor Him and rest in Him.
And there's several places of rest in there. You know, obviously we got level 7 rest where God's peace, and we're talking about the feast, and that's, you know, the time of peace in the millennial reign. But you also have that rest at level 3 in that new resurrection where, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters, that He restoreth my soul. Sometimes you have to rest so He can restore you. Need points out, here's the abnormal, which is used to be my normal way of approaching God. We mess up, we feel, thank you, Deb, I see where you got the feelings from now, and got it. So we begin praying, Lord, put me into Christ. No! You're already there. You just have to abide. Go through the steps and abide in Christ. And that is the way of deliverance. How do we know? Because I have an experience in Christ through that wilderness temptation, and He abided in God. He didn't do anything separate from God. He was led by the Holy Spirit, and that was His way of deliverance. And if Christ is showing me the way, you know what? If you didn't hear anything else today, the fact that Christ, you guys said, I think accurately so, that Christ goes into the wilderness to show us something. All right? That's our way of deliverance. Our deliverance is in the power of Christ. Just like I got Bibles from Al, because he's my friend, and I'm in Al, I have got the power to over... Oh, my God. Al, I love you. I didn't know you were going to be part of a doggone Bible study. I have Bibles. I don't have Bibles in my house, but I have Bibles because I'm in Al, and Al is my friend, and I've got a relationship with Al. I pick on him because I love him. I've got a relationship with Al, and because I have a relationship with Al, what's mine is his, and what's his is mine. I got them Bibles. Do you guys know how many Bibles I have? 100. Where are they? Al's house. Take that same example. Nat. Take that same example. What do we have in Christ? If we're in Christ and we have a relationship with Christ, guess what we have? His power. We got everything. We got His power. He's our way of deliverance. All right. So, we left off. Oh, we got good stuff coming next week. Good stuff coming next week. We left off at page
77.
Yes. So we're going to pick up at page 77. We finished page 76. We got good stuff coming here. Any last comments or words or thoughts?
It was a great lesson today.
God is good. Well, like Ken says, I got time.
Can we hear how the Cochrans are doing?
Yes! Let me unmute them. It's so great to see them. This is awesome. You know what? If nothing else, we praise God for the coronavirus that the Cochran's can share with us.
Hey, but we're used to being home, so it's no different.
You look wonderful, Val.
You do.
Y'all feeling better?
Kidney transplant.
Our grandchildren.
Oh.
Our children.
Can you make them better?
About 6 weeks.
On this one.
So that kind of set me back a little bit, but we're fine now. I'm doing much better. You look great.
Thank you. I feel really good. It's nice. So my hair's falling out some, but I got
to. Oh, no. Hey, Chuck.
Yes, sir.